Welcome to Read It Reddit. If everyone told two friends about this podcast, we would be three times larger. Thanks everyone. We will be reading from r/maliciouscompliance. Our first post is by Miss_Sterner. Backstory: for the past 3 days my fiancé has been preparing himself to switch to graveyards. He alternates 4 days on / 4 days off with afternoon shifts and graveyard shifts. We have a 6 month old son. When the baby wakes up in the morning, I turn one of the baby monitors we have off, and I take the other one downstairs with me, so I don't have to come back for it, and so it doesn't disturb him when he's trying to sleep. This all happened yesterday. I left the second monitor downstairs accidentally for the baby's afternoon nap, and forgot to turn on the first one while I was pumping. My fiancé wakes up around this time, and is playing on his computer. I realize it's pretty silent, so I asked him if he had the baby monitor with him. He gets all snarky saying, "No, I just woke up. Why would I have it?" He huffs his way to the one we have upstairs and turns it on to realize it's also muted. He goes off on this little rant saying that it should always be on with full volume, so this situation doesn't happen again. I just nod and say, "Yes honey," knowing today will be his first graveyard shift. My fiancé usually gets home around 7 a.m. and instantly goes to bed. That's also just before the baby wakes up. He's a very happy baby and just wakes up talking / cooing, so he's not very noisy to begin with. I walk in and go, "Hi baby, good morning. Did you have a good sleep?" and change his diaper the loudest I possibly could all, while talking very loudly to him about our plans for today. It's not a very exciting ending, but it satisfied the petty side of me this afternoon when he came into the kitchen. He didn't look me in the eye when he told me that we don't really need the baby monitor on upstairs all the time. Our next post is by Krestinok. Back a few years ago in undergrad, I took a summer class at the local community college instead of my university. Most of the time people would street park and walk to the campus, as a parking pass was fairly expensive for just a month-long class. One day I got there late and all street parking was full, so I rolled the dice and parked in the actual lot. Some brief background: when you bought a parking pass you had to register it to your car, but since I did not pay for a pass my car wasn't in their system. As expected, I come out to a parking ticket and my windshield wiper blade, but honestly I wasn't too mad about it because it was only like $20. I take the ticket and my $20 check in hand to the off-site building where they handled such things and waited in line a solid 45 minutes. Once up to the counter I explain I have a ticket and they ask for my license plate so they can pull it up. After explaining I never registered my car, they insisted that I just had to wait and it would appear as a charge on my account, a ticket attached to a car in which there was no way they knew it was owned by me. I brought this up since I just wanted to pay the ticket, but the lady said that they'd track my car through the state DMV records to find my name, which is total nonsense. So I took my $20 and never looked back. Almost 6 years later, and I haven't received a notice on my old community college account page about a parking ticket. TL;DR: I got a parking ticket from a college with no way to trace to me. I insisted on paying, but got turned away until my name appeared in their system. It never did. Our next post is by Pam_Ale. Hope this fits here. The compulsory I'm on phone, English blah blah blah. PLS, excuse my mistakes and sorry it's long. A couple years ago my car trunk was badly dented after someone hit me from behind. He was texting and didn't realize I stopped at an intersection. Obviously his insurance agreed to cover all damages. Brought my car, which was merely 4 months old, back to the original dealership for repairs. Important for later, the repair center is right next to a big lot where they stored the cars not on display. Fast forward a few weeks later, repairs were done, and they called me to pick up the car. During inspection to make sure everything was fixed, I discovered that the trunk lock latch was not working properly. I mentioned this to the mechanic that was inspecting my car with me, and I will never forget what he said to me. Quoting his exact words, he said, "Ma'am, with your 4 doors shut and all your windows up, it creates a pressure which makes it difficult to open your trunk door. I was speechless for a few seconds, then told him I may be clueless about cars, but that's not how my trunk door functioned prior to the accident. He kept trying to convince me I was wrong, and that nothing was wrong with the latch, and I kept insisting there was something wrong. The supervisor saw us arguing, and came over to ask what's wrong. The mechanic explained to him that I refused to accept that nothing is wrong with the door latch. The supervisor then told me I can walk around the storage lot and open some of the trunks of the same model car as mine to feel that mine works the same. He then asked the mechanic to walk with me and added, as a matter of fact, she can pop open every trunk. Malicious compliance ensues. Took a while, but I opened every trunk, and with each car the mechanic would say see same as yours, and I would reply with no. Needless to say, after our little adventure the mechanic was getting quite impatient with me. We walk back to the supervisor and the mechanic annoyingly explained that I was still not convinced. The supervisor then suggests that the mechanic take apart the lock and show me the working mechanism to prove that everything is fine. From the surprised look on his face when I said yes, I believe he was expecting me to back down and just agree everything was fine. Well, with the locking mechanism exposed, the mechanic pressed the open button once and the latch moves like normal. He looks at me with a smug face. He tried it again to prove me wrong a second time and behold, the latch jams. He tried again a third time and no movement. He had to jimmy it a bit in order to get it to function again. All of a sudden he just walks off. Of course I asked him where he's going. He turns and tells me he's going to order me a new lock. Being disgusting, I replied with, but why do that when with my four doors shut down? Before I can finish he told me to please stop, he's already doing what needs to be done. I smugly smiled and kept my mouth shut. Our next post is by the Weird Ones 333. I can't buy these anymore. I'll make them. You guys know the drill. On mobile land, if I have any spelling or grammar mistakes, let me know. So I love stuffed animals. I'm gonna be honest here and say I'm addicted to them. I just love the feeling of getting in bed and being surrounded by warm fluff. It's so comfortable for me, and it feels like I'm being hugged. I have a weighted blanket, but it doesn't stop my addiction. When I first got a job, I started to get a lot more stuffed animals that I had wanted for a while. Eventually my mom got tired of how many I had and told me that I couldn't buy them anymore. I was upset by this, but then I saw someone sewing a stuffed animal together online for a custom order they had, and I got an idea. I went to Walmart and I bought some fabric, needles, and thread, and I made a pattern and made a stuffed animal. Now my mom doesn't want to stop me because it's a hobby of mine, and now I love to hand sew stuffed animals. Once the chaos hit, I started making masks too. So now I have unlimited stuffed animals, and I have all the power to make ones that are exactly how I want. My niece and nephew love it too. So in the end I got a great hobby out of this, and more stuffed animals. Our next post is by Bombastophobia. Reminded of this little gem after reading this post, https://www.reddit.com/r/patirevenge/comments/hlhbx9/neighbor_did_light_i_did_my_own_own/ It seems like my family have always been cursed with awful neighbors, from threatening to kill us, to spraying me as a little kid with a hose while I was in my backyard, to killing out pets if they ever escaped. We usually just avoided them, but one particular unit was really really into maintaining his front lawn, to the point of writing us numerous semi-threatening letters if our lawn got higher than his. So my mum, in all her wisdom, complied. She would go over the whole lawn on our mower's second lowest setting, so it was bloody perfect, then she went over it again in a random pattern on the lowest setting. It was a masterpiece. From up on the passing road, it looked totally normal, but from the front of our house, or his, you could just tell that something was off, and amp #X200B, I think the first few times he mowed over our lawn afterwards himself to fix it, but gave up on his pestering pretty quickly. Our next post is by Jedidy. In this, my wife and I were victims of malicious compliance on the part of our twin daughters, who were in first or second grade at the time. Like many kids, they tended to hoard candy, so a couple of weeks before Halloween we told them that they had to reduce their candy stash so that it would fit into a single pumpkin. It was taking up a whole collection of spookily themed receptacles. We kept reminding them, but the candy stash never seemed to get any smaller. A couple of days before Halloween I was picking them up from their after school art class when they walk out carrying an enormous papier-mâché pumpkin. It was probably 2 or 3 feet in diameter. Looked at, they said cheerily, "We made a new candy pumpkin." Our next post is by Woofy_17. So some background info. I take around 1 hour to reach home from school, and I joined some club which has some weird rules, but that's not important to the story today. Onto the story. So my teacher released us late from school, and I had around 15 minutes to get home in order to join the online call. Yes, we have school, but no meeting in my country. Weird. I texted the organizers about me having to be late, and we came to the agreement that I would join the call as I walked home. When I joined the call, I immediately heard the organizers say, "On your camera." Fine. Part 1 of malicious compliance complete. I turned on my camera and allowed the entire call to see the beautiful sky, followed by raindrops slowly falling down. But that wasn't even the funniest part. So moving on, I got on the public transport. It's the train, which, disclaimer, has really loud announcements and sounds and background noises essentially. For some reason, the organizers believed it was an amazing idea to ask someone who is on their way home to turn on their microphone on public transport. Cue malicious compliance. I turned on my microphone and walked closer to the speaker things inside the train, letting the beautiful noises blast into the call and interrupt whoever was speaking. According to one of my friends who were already in the call, almost nothing could be heard by the rest of the people in the call. Other than the next stop, the organizers ended up having me turn off my mic, and yes, that's my malicious compliance. Not as havoc-wreaking as many others in this sub, but hey, it was satisfying. Our next post is by Elgoodit. I work in a data center, and obviously every day presents itself with something new. Sit at desk all day sometimes, yep. Crawl across ladder axe running fiber next day, yep. Therefore, you dress for comfort in any situation. Which is generally jeans, t-shirt, sneakers, and for me a fleece jacket, because it's cold as balls. Many years back, our boss informs us that his boss and a few other VPs are coming in for a tour and we need to be dressed up. His boss is new to him, and he wants us to make a good impression, but when we ask for clarification, he didn't have an answer, just looked nice. Cue malicious compliance. There were only 5 of us working in this location and 3 of the 4 guys had tuxedos, the other one, a nice suit. I had a great floor-length formal gown. So on the day in question, we arrived earlier than usual in our spiffy studs. When our boss arrived, he straight panicked. He was convinced that this would not go over well. We calmly explained that he's the one that told us to dress up, and we had. Plus, there was no time for us to change before the tour was going to arrive. A few minutes later, his boss rolls up, and the 5 of us, plus our boss, are in the front lobby to greet him. Our boss is terrified. He came through the door, took one look, and almost fell over. I've never seen anyone laugh so hard in my life. He insisted on taking pictures of and with us, and said it was the best thing he'd seen in a long time. Our boss, of course, then switched gears and acted like he'd been in on it and thought we were hilarious too. Okay. Our photo made the second level's wall and even went out during a team meeting a few weeks later. It's still one of my favorite work memories. Our boss was much more succinct going forward when he wanted us to dress up. Our next post is by Type 1 Rose. I've been reading a lot of posts on here, and I do love them. They keep reminding me of so many things from when I was younger. For reference, I'm deaf, and I think I was about 7. I was raised single-handedly by my dad, and for several reasons, deafness and diabetes, he refused to put me into daycare during the summertime or after school. I had either a nanny or babysitter till I was 14. This particular nanny was one of those who just wanted to watch her shows. She was supposed to help with my homework on this day, which I tried to get her to, but she just didn't want to, I guess. I wasn't the best at reading lips then, so she ended up just writing down "just disappear. I don't want to see you again." Those were the exact words. I grabbed a book, snacks, my meter, insulin pen and a flashlight before hiding. I'm good at climbing, and climbed up on a shelf in my closet. Unless you specifically look up, and at an angle you can't see where I was at. It was my favorite hiding spot then. I stayed there throughout the night. The nanny didn't think anything of it until Dad got off his shift. Dad wasn't able to find me anywhere in the house, and then saw what she had written. He called the police. There was a huge search for me all while I was sleeping on that shelf. The next morning I came down when I woke, but since I didn't actually sleep till about 3 a.m, to be fair, it was my first Nancy Drew book, and I had to figure out the secret of the old clock. Lol, I didn't wake up till around 9 a.m. Since I was on the low side, I got down. I walked down the hallway and into the dining room. Dad was talking to several other cops and was overjoyed when he saw me. Then after I ate, I got the lecture of all lectures. He also took that shelf down. As for the nanny, she never did see me again. Our next post is by Letmer_Nixeroff. I found this on the Nextdoor app for my neighborhood. Someone had been chaining their dog up outside in the early hours of the morning, and neighbors were becoming frustrated with its incessant barking. One user shared their father-in-law's solution to a similar dilemma, and I found his compliance to be malicious enough to share with you guys. My father-in-law had neighbors that let their dog out early in the morning, and he is retired, so not always up at that time. They would chain it in the front yard for 1 hour or more, and it would bark at every car that went by continuously. He talked to them about it, and they got belligerent with him and started cussing at him, and their response about the dog was, "It's a dog." The property frontage is about 100 feet, so the houses were close. He solved the problem since talking didn't work by working on his boat motor at 7:05 within the city ordinance time. He cranked that up 3 days in a row for about 15 minutes each day. The dog miraculously stopped barking. Apologies for the grammar mistakes and amp misspellings. I did not write the comment. Our next post is by Bripotato. TLDR, basically the title. Brief backstory: a couple years ago, I was in an apartment with my friend and younger sister. My sister was violent towards my friend and I ended up having to get a restraining order against her. She brought in a dog without permission, which caused some damage to the unit. I informed my landlord of the incidences of violence and the damage, and sent him pictures. He basically told me to deal with it myself, which I did by getting the protective order. After this, my roommate questioned the legality of holding us responsible for her portion of rent. I told her it was, but she asked our landlord for a copy of the lease to show her uncle anyway, which admittedly was pretty stupid. Up until this point, our landlord had not asked us to leave due to my sister's actions, but he did after the lease was brought into it. We were out by the date he specified on the notice to quit, the first step in the eviction process before the eviction actually occurs. My roommate was there until midnight, making sure the place was spotless. We moved to an apartment across the street. 2 weeks had passed since he was informed that we had vacated the unit, and we had not gotten anything regarding our security deposit. In our state, a landlord is required by law to either return the remainder of a security deposit within 2 weeks, or provide a letter itemizing what the deposit was used for. If they don't, the tenant is owed the entire deposit. If the withholding is willful, the tenant is owed double the original deposit. The landlord had actually told me that he would be going on vacation immediately after we vacated, so I returned our keys to him and waited to see if he would send anything. He never did. After consulting with a tenant's rights group to be sure I was in the right, I sent a pre-formatted letter 16 days after we vacated, which stated the specific laws regarding security deposits, and gave him our current address to send either the deposit or receipt to. The day after I sent this letter, I see him across the street, frantically running into the apartment for the first time since we moved out. I receive a text from him saying that he would return what's left of our deposit if he could get the apartment rented by the first of next month. I respond by telling him that, as the letter I sent explained, he forfeits the right to keep any of the deposit after the 2 weeks is up. He responded saying that he would see us in court, and that we were nightmare tenants, and that this will be fun. He said he would also be taking us to court for the costs to realest and rent the apartment, which he claimed exceeded the amount of our deposit. After about a month or two of hearing nothing back, we decided to say fuck it, and file a small claim suit against him, as he clearly wasn't going to follow through on his threats. As the person who had almost all communication with him, I was the plaintiff in the case. He brought a letter that was dated for the day he texted me, where he arbitrarily wrote in what he used the deposit on, and claimed he sent us the letter. That obviously didn't add up, which I thoroughly explained to the judge, as he had texted me that day saying that we would get some of the deposit returned, and that he had no proof that he actually sent that letter. He clearly just wrote it and printed it out for the court hearing. During the court hearing, he also said a lot of false and victim-blaming shit, such as implying that I participated in the violence that occurred, saying we caused damages that were definitely there when we moved in, and just attacking my character in general. The judge ruled that the withholding of the security deposit was willful and awarded us double the deposit. But of course that wasn't the end of it, and a few days before his deadline to pay us the money, he sends me a text just letting me know that the decision has been appealed. I didn't answer and showed up to court again, and lo and behold, it's more mudslinging and arguing about things that we already established in the first hearing. The judge upheld the original decision, and he eventually mailed me the check for double the deposit. In the memo line on the check, where you can write the reason for the payment, he wrote, "For gaining £20. But hey, I cashed that check and spent my half on a new gaming laptop, so I'd say I got the last laugh. I desperately wanted to text him and ask him if it was as fun as he thought it would be, but resisted the urge. Edit, apparently I didn't make this clear enough, but yes, violence occurred towards me as well. I could do without the victim blaming. And the dog that she brought in without permission chewed a tiny chunk off of the windowsill. In court, the falsified deposit receipt letter was mostly comprised of cleaning fees and damages that were there when we moved in. Our next post is by Superfle. I worked as a contract graphic designer for a large Canadian retailer that has a big cat as their logo. I had the habit of staying later to finish projects, but only charged for regular 9-to-5. As such, the supervisor and I had an unwritten agreement that I could show up a little late from time to time, since I always got the work done on time. One day, I'm coming in 25 minutes after 9 and the head of ours runs into me in the hallway. She asks if I'm just arriving to work. I tell her yes, and she immediately escorts me to the supervisor's office to rat me out. The supervisor tries to explain our agreement, but the HR manager tells me that if it happens again, my contract will be terminated. From that day forward, I started counting all my overtime and billing them for it. When asked why I was suddenly billing at a higher rate by management, I explained to them what had happened. A few weeks later, I was offered a better job elsewhere and decided I would show up late the next day. The HR manager saw me get there late and started stomping over. As she arrived, I handed her my resignation letter and walked out. I found out later that they ended up needing to hire 2 designers to keep up with the pace that I was keeping on my own. TLDR, supervisor and I have unwritten agreement that I can show up late because I stay late. Our manager catches me coming in late and threatens to fire me. I start billing them for all my overtime that I wasn't billing them for prior to that encounter. Our next post is by 2SampleTest. My 4-year-old and I were playing in a kiddie pool on our lawn. I had to run inside to use the bathroom and sat him on a lawn chair under the carport and told him to stay in this chair until I got back. Didn't want him to drown, you know, parent stuff. I return and he has placed the lawn chair in the kiddie pool and is sitting in the chair in the pool. I was not prepared for my kid to be smarter than me. Our next post is by Wintertut. Long story short, I was employed at a rather large factory which is one of the largest plant-based companies in the world, recently bought by an investment firm not so long ago. Anyways, I developed a program which was used at the factory. It could tell whenever any machines were not running, even if it was due to a manual stop or anything else. My program knew the reason why the machine was idling. This program made it so much easier for the entire factory. Workers were happy because they didn't need to do any manual work and write down every time the machine stopped. Lead up to about a year ago. Factory appoints a new chief. All the old employees that were in a leader position was let go because it was time for new blood to come in. There was a lot of talk about selling off parts of the factory, including machines and so on. This included programs that I had developed, including the program that identified whenever a machine stopped. I developed this program on my spare time, showed it to the old management, and they liked it enough that they wanted to use it on every station in the factory. Every machine was to use this program. All that had to be done was for the program to be maintained weekly. This was around 5 years ago or so. When the newly appointed factory chief wanted to let the old employees, me included, leave, it was not known that I was the person behind that program. Anyways, at my meeting with ours and the factory chief, I said that I was willing to sell them the program and teach someone how to maintain the program. The factory chief laughed in my face and said it was company property and that it was simply their program and not mine. I offered to show them the source code and everything, but it led up to the point where, if I was to tamper with the program before my departure, they would sue me. I was officially let go, 2-month countdown began, and after 2 months I was free. After a week or so, they noticed problems with the program. It would stop loading, stop registering stops, and it would mislabel stops. I knew that this was when the fun was about to begin. After a month, I was called into the office and was told that I had tampered with the program because it had suddenly stopped working. I let them know that someone had to maintain it. I was ordered to teach someone how to do that job, and I told them, "After you pay me for the program rights." They wouldn't budge, and I was told to return to work. When I had a week left, I strolled around the factory floor for a while and noticed that no stations were running my program anymore. I asked some operators why that was, and they told me that it just stopped working. Now we need to fill out forms every time the machine stops manually. I shrugged and told them to thank the factory chief. I left after that week, got a phone call about a month after I left where they begged me to sell them the rights and teach someone how to maintain it. I never sold them that program. Instead, I sold an improved version to another factory nearby, where I'm now employed. Edit: I see some are saying that I'm in the wrong, based on US law. Just editing here to let you know that this did not take place in the US. I made the program during my spare time at home on my own computer. After introducing the program to the former factory chief, I was allowed to try it out on one machine and test it. The maintenance was done on my office computer. After a few months, I was allowed to roll it out for the entire factory. It wasn't done overnight, lots of debugging to do. I have not heard anything from the company for nearly a year, so it would be weird for them to suddenly come after me now. Just wanted to make that clear. Our next post is by Amy Single. This interesting encounter happened to my father sometime in the mid-90s. My family is Malaysian and my father worked as a civil engineer, and still is. He led his company's hydro department, and was responsible for contracting supplies for his turbine project. Looking for a supplier, a good college friend of his was the managing director of a turbine company based in Texas, and he personally invited my dad to meet and survey some products at his company there for his upcoming hydro project. Now the thing about my family, and most Malaysians in general, is that we are fluent in English. It's our second language. And with my dad studying engineering in Sunderland for 4 years, I could definitely say his English is way above others. So, my father and some of his employees took the trip from Kuala Lumpur to Houston, and the first thing they faced when entering the company's lobby was this American lady at the reception. She looked at my father's Asian complexion and condescendingly tried to take on a stereotypical Asian accent to attempt to communicate with him. My dad's coworkers behind him were all like, "Oh no, she didn't," and were embracing themselves for the inevitable comeback at this racist remark. Then, my dad smugly decided to play along and conversed with her in Asian broken English for roughly 15 minutes, just to mess with her. Just as she was reaching her limit with him, the MD, her boss, came down to the lobby and enthusiastically greeted my dad from afar with, "Yo ops dad. You made it." My dad dropped the Asian act and returned his greeting out loud in completely fluent English. Confused and embarrassed, she became speechless and her face turned bright red in silence at the situation. The MD invites my dad upstairs to his office for the meeting, while my dad's workers were holding in their laughter as they followed him to the upstairs for the meeting. My dad later told his MD friend about the whole situation in the lobby and the MD profusely apologized for her behavior, but my dad was a good sport and had fun messing with her. Later that month, my dad came back for another meeting and found out that the MD took no excuses from her and fired her that very same week for basically insulting their foreign customers. Our next post is by Mr. Breasts. In my middle school, grades were 7th, 8th, and 9th. My 8th grade year, on the last day of school, somebody decided to light off a smoke bomb in the main building, and it caused a big ruckus. Nobody got hurt or anything, but the school wasn't happy about it for understandable reasons. Fast forward 1 year, there's a new policy in place: no backpacks during the last week of school. We were still expected to get around to our classes with our books, homework, pencils, calculators, and whatever else was required. This meant they expected us to carry them around like a bunch of Little House on the Prairie dullholes. There was one caveat to this: because there were so many girls reaching that time in every girl's life, they allowed purses to be carried. I, being a young, petulant, smartest kind of boy, decided to borrow one of mom's purses for that week. I wore it with pride and a smirk on my face. All of my teachers were amused and let it go without issue. A few of my buddies followed suit after realizing how much easier it made my life. Our next post is by account_attempt_8. I worked for an IT company a while back and needed to do a return on a faulty computer component. My tickets would be constantly closed as complete from the vendor with no information given. We realize they use the same ticketing system as us due to a loop created by auto responses back and forth from both systems. We stopped the issue on our side and said, "Oh well, that's good to know." After a few weeks and 50 plus tickets, I was no closer to a resolution. My strategy at that time was spamming them with tickets as they were very easy to create in their system. I tried calling. I'd leave voicemails, but messages stated all returns are done via their online ticketing system. Okay. I sent my ticket to every department several times a day after getting no response from the returns dept or my voicemails. Clearly the tickets could be closed just as easily on their end with no care or repercussion. Then I realized I had the answer all along. I asked my boss to remove the new rules he had implemented to stop the loop of responses. He set another rule to basically auto-clear the response right after it's received, and we have already auto-responded. This was to ensure it doesn't crash the ticketing system, given this was generating a response every few seconds, and I was going to do this on 5 tickets. These responses also generate an email being sent back and forth. That should make for several hundred emails per minute. Better yet, I'm fairly certain images were getting relayed with each response. On an older or poorly set up system, that's a whole lot of traffic and data coming in. Even worse if no one there knows what's happening or how to stop it. Many companies don't have an IT department due to overall need. They outsource to companies like mine to fulfill those needs. It took less than an hour. We received a frantic call from the vendor asking to stop the auto responses from our system, because they didn't know how. It had basically taken down their email server, because it was full and no one knew how to fix it. Oh, sorry about that. I'm glad you called though. I wasn't sure anyone worked at your company, because I've been trying to contact you for weeks. We didn't notice a problem on our end, but we can see what's going on now. Must be a different setup. Wit. I had a credit for the part, before we ended the call. I hung up the phone victorious, called the boss, and told him to put the rule back. We never bought from them again. Edit, TLDR, vendor keeps closing my tickets and won't answer. I'll let our system crash this due to auto responses. They called to ask us to stop, we did, and I got the credit from the vendor. Our next post is by Snaptech. On mobile device, so the usual blah, blah, blah. Was talking with a old boss that I used to work for. I'm at a different company now, but left on good terms, and remembered this. Background so people have an understanding. I drive semi, and at the time I worked for a dairy delivering milk and other products to grocery stores. All days were the same except for Saturday. On Saturday my last stop was a Walmart, and I didn't like dealing with one of the people who checked in deliveries. They had three people who rotated, being in charge on Saturday. So this happened early on a Saturday morning over Labor Day weekend in 2009. Because of the holiday weekend, stores took larger amounts than normal, because of the holiday Monday. Everything went smoothly at first three stops, but the last didn't. When I arrived at the docks, that normally had one or two open, there was a line of trucks waiting. I wasn't surprised, and don't mind waiting, because I get paid for waiting. About a half hour later it was my turn to get a dock. So I backed in, and then went inside, to see the witch as people called her. She was busy with a soda delivery and I went about collecting the empty crates, and put on my trailer. After pulling the incoming dairy to the trailer tail, Walmart loads of cooler, or frozen items are temperature checked before being accepted. So you leave it on the trailer, until they are ready to check your load in. So it's finally my turn to be checked in, and I open the trailer door, and start pulling their order out. Which, put that back on your truck. I have beer and soda, that need in first. Me, I'm not leaving, until you check it or refuse it. Holding the invoice out to her. She signed and dated it refused with no reason for refusing. I put everything back on and secured it. Then pulled off the dock, and parked out of the way then took a picture of the invoice and texted my boss it before calling her. Told her what happened, and I already know, that store will be out of milk this afternoon. Boss, so it was never tempted. Me, correct, so when they call later looking for the milk, tell them it was refused for no reason and check the cameras. Boss, well there are not getting any till Tuesday now. Don't worry, you're covered. So I took, and put the product back into the plant cooler in good product return area. I didn't hear anything until Tuesday, when I returned from that day's route. Boss, you were right, they ran out about 2 in the afternoon, and called in a panic. Told them what happened, and I'm not paying a driver double time to fix their mistake, and check the security cameras. So Saturday comes, and I expect to be cussed at both by the dock people and management of the Walmart, because of last weekend's disaster. Instead I was greeted with smiles and thanks, the manager showed up also. It seems that that was the mistake, that he was waiting for to fire the witch. Our next post is by HalJustin91 out a year back, my ex-father-in-law, took me to court for an incident that had happened 5 years previously. While still married, I got into a door dinger with his Jeep. At the time I offered to buy a new door, and help install it, he is a self-proclaimed mechanic, and had the know-how, the project fell to the wayside, the door was never purchased, and never brought up again. That is, until his daughter, and I had a falling out, and we divorced 5 years later. So I got served and taken to court for $2,000. A made-up number, that he felt was adequate. During mediation, I offered him $1,500 and to never contact me again. At which he scoffed. so I told the mediator I'd like to go before the judge. I informed the judge of the original deal and found a matching door from a scrapyard for $400. The judge took my side and granted my father-in-law $400. It was incredibly gratifying hearing him throw a fit in front of the judge to go ahead and file an appeal now and have the judge tell him that wasn't his job. And walking out of the courtroom as he angrily yelled at me that he would be seeing me again. Still haven't heard back. Our next post is by Latin Cinderella. My native language is Spanish, and I live in a country with about 8 or more dialects/accents, some very different one from the other. None of my parents, my mom, my dad, or my stepdad are from the city I was born and where we live. My stepdad is from the coastal region, mom and dad are both from a valley city in the south, and we live in the capital. I tell you all this so that you understand that I have a very weird accent, which was more noticeable when I was a kid at the time our story took place. When I was 11, my Spanish literature teacher hated how I pronounced the words and she would force me to constantly read out loud in order to berate me with corrections. And no good corrections, she actually mocked me in front of the whole class, implying I was dumb because I didn't speak like the rest of them. After a while I felt really bad and spoke to my homeroom teacher, who was a really cool guy. He was also not native to the city, and had an accent himself, but a very soft one. We had a reunion with her, and while she obviously denied mocking me, she admitted she was trying to change my accent, or as she put it, I want her to speak Spanish properly due to his malicious compliance, as he offered to help me himself during recess for the next whole week. Fast forward to the next literature class. Like always, my Spanish teacher asked me to read out loud, and I used the lessons my homeroom teacher gave me. I didn't know at the time, but what my homeroom teacher really taught me was how to speak with Castilian accent, meaning the original Spanish spoken by Europeans, think British English vs American. He even taught me how to use vocier, which means using vos instead of the more common to or usted and to add Easter verbs. Obviously, my Castilian was horrible and merely a parody of how it truly is. I was 11 after all, and it ended making my whole class laugh without control because of how funny it sounded. My teacher got mad, but when she tried to punish me, I told her Mr. Homeroom says this is how proper Spanish sounds. She didn't say a thing afterwards, and ended the class about 20 minutes before the bell rang. Later my homeroom teacher found me and told me I could speak normally and that my Spanish teacher would not bother me again, which ended up being true. It was many years later that I understood what had happened, but sadly I could not thank my homeroom teacher because he had changed schools. Still, I think of him as one of the best men I have ever met. Thanks for reading. Our next post is by Ace Paisley. I'm not 100% this is the most appropriate place for this story, but it does fit so, if anyone knows a more suitable place then do tell. In high school, senior year, my graduating class was a wild ride. Our class song was an original from One of Us, and our class flower was a cactus, we just went all out on the weird and original. Something a bit less original was the yearbook club who was going to put together a before and after slideshow, pretty much a baby photo of everyone followed by their graduation photo. Well, I was a bit late submitting my picture, and they found me and told me send us a baby photo or we are going to Google Asian baby and the first thing that comes up is yours. Now that by itself is funny simply for the fact that I'm not Asian. Nobody in my school was even Asian. Small school, less at like 30 in my graduating class, not I don't like pictures of myself, so I don't tend to keep any of them. My mom however has a ton of baby photos, as a mother would. I get a hold of her, and before I even ask to see any I know which one I want. Point my mom is laughing so much about the picture I chose, and is loving the idea of it being part of the slideshow. I told all Milligram friends and family who were going to the graduation, nobody else knew. To the yearbook's credit, they didn't say a thing about the picture. Day of graduation we, the class, are all sitting on stage without diplomas and they bring down the projector for the audience. They also rolled out an old TV, so we could watch as well, and the cooing begins. All of the families in the auditorium are oh-oh-ing and ah-ing at all the baby photos. Two guys behind me are trying to guess who everybody is before they come up, and to their credit getting most of them right. I know the pictures aren't in alphabetical order, so it's going to be a surprise when it comes up. Suddenly all the cooing stopped, and there was a moment of silence before the audience went ee-ooh with confusion and discomfort. The boys behind me went who the fuck? Me and my friends are all laughing our hearts out. It changes to my graduation photo, the audience is murmuring, the boys behind me go of course angrily. I found out later that over both photos my mom wanted to hoot and holler, but physically couldn't cause she was spending too much effort to not pee her pants from laughing so hard. Now the picture. I don't still have a copy of it, but I can describe it. It was my first ever picture, still in the hospital. The background is dark and faded, I'm beet red, screaming, and there is just this skin and bones pale hand reaching over me like that of the Grim Reaper. I call it the Crypt Keeper hand. She was the nurse. That photo randomly among normal baby photo that were meant to be cute. Honestly my greatest high school achievement. I don't like pictures being taken of myself, and I don't like seeing pictures of myself, and now everyone who bought a yearbook has to live with that demon picture. Our next post is by Highness ICF. So, I gotta start by saying I'm a nurse, and considering the difficult position and vulnerability most people in a hospital are living, I try to make my patients' life as easy as I can. This is maybe the only time I really felt I was being a mean nurse, and did it anyway. I worked at an orthopedic service at the time, and the patient in question had had surgery about 5 days ago for a hip replacement. So, this one day, I'm giving medication to patients, and this particular patient is in the corridor, and I hand him acetaminophen pills, pain medication, not strong at all, but tastes as bitter as they come, and you need to swallow them fast, or they dissolve in your mouth and the flavor is just the worst. He's in no pain, it was a preventive measure at the time. He takes the pills out of the wrapper, and throws it in the floor right in front of me, trash can by his side. Me sir, you just threw garbage to the floor. Patient, yeah, so. Me well, if you didn't want to put it in the trash can, you could just have given it to me, and I would do it. Patient don't sweat it, the maid will get it, and he proceeds to put the pills in his mouth and rolls his wheelchair to his bedroom to get the water. I'm really pissed at this point. I'm not going to let litter stay on an hospital floor, so I pick it up, and count to 10. Meanwhile, he gets to his hospital table that has his 1,5L water bottle on top. That particular table is nose very stable, and it just happens that his wheelchair bumps into it before he can reach the bottle. And the bottle falls to the other side of the table. He can't pass the wheelchair to the other side of the table, and so he is at this point with the pills in his mouth with no way of getting his water. I realize it, and am in no hurry to help. I enter the room to administer medication to another patient that's in his bed, 3 other patients in that bedroom. Patient nurse, my water bottle fell to the ground and me, not letting him finish the sentence, oh. Don't worry, the maid will pick it up and throw it out. And I then quickly proceed to the next patient. Same goes as I leave the room, and again as I enter again for the 3rd patient. Patient is by now fuming. His saliva melting the pills, that horrible taste in his mouth for a while. As I'm leaving for good he tries again, to say the full sentence, and this time I'll let him. It wasn't easy, cause he had this paste of melting pills in his mouth. Patient nurse. I let my water bottle fall, and I needed to take my pills. Me, I'm so sorry. I though you just wanted to throw something out again. I'm so sorry. Here you go. And I left, feeling justice had been made. Our next post is by I Am Groot. Back in middle school, we had a teacher, we'll call him Mr. Teacher, who was kind of a jerk. He was kind of an odd guy who came off as very condescending to students. He also seemed kind of disinterested in teaching in general. One day, during math class, he's generally butchering a lesson on the basics of algebra, literally the introduction to how an equation is formed and balanced. One kid is really struggling and asking a lot of questions. Mr. Teacher is struggling to come up with a coherent explanation. Finally, the class clown, we'll call him Kit, who was actually pretty smart, couldn't handle it anymore and interjects, "Kit, Mr. Teacher, you're explaining this in a really confusing way. It's not as complicated as you're making it out to be." Mr. Teacher, "Look, do you want to teach this class?" Kit, "Sure. I bet I can explain it better than you are right now." Mr. Teacher, "I'd like to see that, go right ahead." Now, the tone of this wasn't friendly. Mr. Teacher was trying to put Kit in his place, and he was really sarcastic about the whole thing. You could tell he thought Kit was going to bomb and be embarrassed. Well, Kit marches up to the whiteboard, grabs a marker, and spends 5 minutes walking the struggling kid through the lesson, in front of the entire class. His explanation is clear, it makes sense, and at the end the struggling kid goes, "Oh, okay. Now I finally get it. Thanks." Mr. Teacher is pretty sour about this turn of events and picks up on a small detail, detail X that kid omitted from his explanation. He says, "Mr. Teacher, you know, kid, you didn't mention anything about detail X." Kid turns around and looks dead in Mr. Teacher's eyes and says, "Kit, Mr. Teacher, do you want to teach this class?" The class erupts in laughter and clapping and Mr. Teacher looks like he wants to kill Kid. Meanwhile it was legit like a movie and the bell rings and class ended. Edit, fixed acronyms into proper pseudonyms. Edit 2, fixed some brackets. Our next post is by Bethelic War. A few years ago, I worked at a sporting goods store that sells firearms. Some customers would buy online and have those items shipped to the store and then come in for the background check and pick them up. A customer comes up to the gun counter and says he has an order for pickup. I check the safe and find the guy's firearm and unbox for his inspection to ensure this is what he ordered and it is in good condition, as there are no returns on firearms once they are purchased. This order was for a very nice and expensive Browning Satori over/under 28 gauge shotgun. Of course I get to handle it and admire the beautiful craftsmanship of the inlay on the receiver, as these are rarely seen in the store, especially in 28 gauge. This is the conversation that followed as we are filling out the paperwork. Me, "Wow. This is truly an amazingly exquisite shotgun." Customer, "Yeah. It's also the most expensive one you guys have available online, at $2,500. But I didn't pay that." Me, "Really? Well, if you don't mind me asking, how much did you get it for?" Customer, $1,250. Me, "What? How did you manage that?" Customer, "Well, I bought a cooler for $100 a few weeks ago, and it wasn't big enough, so I tried to return it. However, your store's policy dictates that without a receipt it can only be refunded for the lowest sell price in the last 30 days, which at one point was on sale for $70. I wasn't going to take that, so I talked to your manager. After 30 minutes of arguing, he was unwilling to make an accommodation and advised me to call the 1-800 customer service number. So I did. I had to wait on hold for more than 2 hours to talk to a rep, and after explaining what happened I was offered a 50% off coupon on any one item online or in store. Now, I don't really need a new shotgun, but I found the most expensive one to use my coupon on, just to stick it to your company for your manager's unwillingness to return the cooler for full price." Me, "That is awesome. What did you do with the cooler?" Customer, "I returned it and happily accepted the $70. Oh, and if you see your manager, tell him I'd like to treat him to dinner, because calling the 800 number was the best advice he could have given me." Our last post is by Daxaran. "Hi all, apologies for the poor grammar. I work as a technical architect slash product designer for a software company, medium enterprise, and I'm only 24 years old. At 24 years, you don't usually see a lot of people in that designation, so most of the new senior hires look down on me. I have been working my ass off at this place since this was a startup with less than 50 employees, hence I've done all sorts of jobs for this place. I've taken the letters to post office and even cleaned the office on odd nights. Probably that and maybe that I'm good at what I do has helped me be very known and loved by the CEO, CTO, and people of those ranks. We got a new hours in October, and I was on medical leave during those months. Her designation says she's the senior hour executive and we'll call her Janice, and when I joined back, I did not bother to inform her, because I did not know she exists. Now, that is kinda bad from my part, but I directly walked into the CEO's room. He hugged me and welcomed back. The hour director was also there. We spoke for 15 minutes, I was assigned my new project and honestly, that was it. Most senior officials in office have their designated cabins, but we haven't put our names outside it. It is just named C1, C2, and so on. Ironically, we have our COO in C4, and he's always angry and willing to explode, but most of the old employees sit outside with the team to work, probably because we are yet to get used to the luxury of a cabin. Haha. Janice just walks up to me and tells me that I'm supposed to have my induction and joining back training to be conducted, and I tell her that I would do it once I'm free as I have certain meetings aligned with my team already to understand the new project. And trust me, I know the policies around as much or better than most people, so I did think that I was above her law. But I think I pissed her off as I immediately got a mail with the hour director looped. I cancelled my events and decided to attend her session, but I think I fell in her bad books that day. During the session, I said that I was unaware that this training was to be done, and that is why I had set up meetings, and Janice told me things always change, and it is your job to be aware. Honestly, a very beautiful and truthful sentence that I'm taking with me for the rest of my life. Months pass and I'm working from a client's office in the city, which means I just log into my building after winding up my tasks at the client location. With the traffic, I reach back pretty late. Around 11 p.m. And I spend an hour or two here and call it a day. This is not normal. The task was tough. Timeline small. I guess you've all been there. One fine morning, I received the mail saying I'd have an inquiry this month as I have been clocking less than 2 hours in the office, and that I have a one-on-one to explain it to Janice, why I wasn't here. Now I'm pissed. In all the years I have worked here, I was never asked in for an inquiry. What pissed me off even further was that I had to explain to Janice of all the people. During my one-on-one, where a lot of our associates were present, I tell Janice that I work out of client's office, and that those 2 hours you see is me traveling over 20 km from the client's place, and then working from here after my time there. I also ping my CEO in this span as I did not have time for Janice's shit. CEO walks in, and we explain the whole situation to him, and he blasts Janice for asking me to explain stuff to her. He also tells her that I'm working at clients and that exempts him from these policies. He also adds that these policies don't apply to my kids, the OG50 employees who build the stack up. She, now at a loss of words after understanding there is no point in messing with me, says, "But we were not informed of this change." And I said in Buddha-like voice, "I'd like to believe, things always change, and it is your job to be aware." That's it for Edit Reddit. I hope you enjoyed. Please leave a good rating, as that really helps me out.